proclaims its 2014 Spring Revival Time. Services will be starting on Monday, April 28th through Thursday, May the 1st. Services begin nightly at 6:30 p.m. Year Pastoral Anniversary and celebrations for our pastor, the Reverend Rodney G. McNeil, at 3 o'clock p.m. For services will be as follows. On Monday, April 28, 2014, revivalist will be the Reverend Ronnie Humphreys of the Mount Calvary Baptist Church of Alexandria. On Tuesday, April 29, 2014, revivalist will be Reverend Charles Smith of the First Baptist Church of Colfax, Louisiana. On Wednesday, April the 30th, 2014, revivalist Reverend Victor White of the Harmony Baptist Church of Alexandria. And on Thursday, May the 1st, the revivalist will be the Reverend Kendall Francois of the Hopewell Baptist Church. And on Sunday, May the 4th, our second year pastoral anniversary and celebration for our pastor, the Reverend Rodney G. McNeil, special guest speaker will be none other than the Bishop Lionel Smith, senior pastor of the New Scott Alley Baptist Church.
You're getting wise now. We didn't let the secular society come in and start dictating to us how we're supposed to live. God told us how to live. He gave us the stuff to live with. Then he sent back in the new sensation. He sent back and gave us the power of the Spirit that we, as saints of God, can go anywhere because we got the power in us. We don't have to yield to nobody.
Services will begin properly at 3 o'clock p.m. on that day. We're excited about this Spring Revival 2014 and the second year pastoral anniversary and celebration for our pastor, the Reverend Rodney G. McNeil. If you need additional information, phone the church at 318-442-0997. The Second Bethlehem Baptist Church, located 1910 Harris Street, is a proud underwriting sponsor of 88.1 FM Alexandria, 92.5 FM Shreveport, 98.9 FM Monroe.
With Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message. Hallelujah. Look at the scripture again. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. This is Jesus speaking. He said, you believe in me, he hath everlasting life. He's not trying to get it. He what? He hath what? So what do you have right now? When did you get it? When you believed, you received Jesus. See, everlasting life is not something you get when you die. If you wait till you die to get it, it's too late. Do you know 3 seconds, 3 nanoseconds after you die, if you lost, it's too late. I mean, 1 minute, if you change your mind after you die, you won't serve Jesus, too late. 30 seconds, too late. 1 second after you die, you say, oh, but wait a minute, I want Jesus. It's too late. So eternal life, everlasting life, is something that you receive as a gift from God while you are still living, and that life is in your spirit. And that is the spiritual change that took place in your DNA. Is that now you got the life of God in you. Notice he said he hath everlasting life. And what? And shall not what? And shall not come into condemnation. But is what? But pass from where? From out of the dominion of death into the dominion of life. So I'm not in death. I'm not living in death. I'm living in life. I'm not living in darkness. I'm living in the light. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, I have eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through who? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So eternal life is something that you get when you believe. 1 John chapter 5 says, he that has the Son, talking about in relationship with the Son, he that have the Son have life. He that have not the Son of God have not life. In other words, if you don't have the Son abiding in you, living in you, then you are still abiding in darkness. You are still in death. You are still a child of the devil, spiritually speaking. But I thank God that I passed out of death into life. And I'm not going to come under condemnation now because God has given me the gift of righteousness. I mean, you know, it's a gift. If you're trying to make yourself just right so you can go and get it and say, now, Lord, I deserve now. Oh, I'm going to tell you, listen, for everything that you do right, there's probably 100 things you did wrong. You will never be able to get it on your own merit. Because if you pat yourself on the back in one area, God can show you 100 other areas that you did something wrong that you didn't even know about. So grace covers us. So you see, you should be focusing on your redemption and who you are in Christ, not focusing on your old man and who you used to be and struggling with those things from your past. You need to go ahead and get victory of those things and don't come under that bondage again. And don't be entangled again with the bondage from your former lifestyle. Amen. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So once I get untangled, I ain't supposed to get tangled up again. No man that warreth entangle himself with the things of this world. The Amplified say civilian affairs. Because you're a soldier in the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you're a soldier in God's army, you ain't supposed to get entangled with them civilian affairs. Amen. The civilian affairs are not supposed to be shaping you and molding you. I tell your neighbors, I'm a new creature in Christ. Say, I'm a new creation. I got the life of God in me. I'm not going to come under condemnation because I'm saved by grace. I'm not saved by my works. You're not saved by how many doors you knock on. You're not saved by how many poor people you feed. You're not saved by how much money you give to the church. Amen. You're not saved by how many times you dart the church doors, how many times you come in and out. None of that stuff's going to save you. Are those things good? Yeah, they're good and they're profitable, and we should do good works. The Bible says be careful to maintain good works. The Bible says let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So I'm supposed to have some good works in my life, but I'm not saved by the good works. Amen. I'm supposed to have good works, and because good works flow out of a relationship with God, good works flow out of a relationship where I can receive from God. That's why I'm able to produce good works, because my relationship with God is now right. Amen. And I've learned how to overcome condemnation, which will pretty much paralyze me and shut me down. How many of you ever didn't do something God told you to do and you recognize, oh, I messed up, and it seemed like you kept on asking God to forgive you and just seemed like he ain't listening? Am I the only one? No. Or you shouldn't have done something. And you realize I shouldn't have done that. And then you say, oh, I need to go to the Lord. And you go and you say, Lord, forgive me, but it seemed like he ain't listening. I'm going to tell you, that feeling of he not listening, that is condemnation. When you get a sense of unworthiness and a sense of inferiority and like God is shunning you, that's the devil working on you. That ain't the Holy Ghost. Because the reason why you even want to come to God and make it right with him is because the Holy Ghost is convicting you. When I want to come back, that's good. If you sin and you don't want to come back, you better crawl into church. fast. Because something is wrong. If you can do wrong and don't feel nothing about it, don't feel like you got to make it right with God, you in bad, bad shape spiritually. If you can't hear the Holy Ghost, because I know if you hear his, he talking to you, and if your conscience has been seared so much that you can't hear anymore, you in bad shape. You better open your Bible up, and you better dig in. And you better find somebody to pray with you and get that off of you. Help me. I need some help. I can't hear God. I messed up, and I don't feel bad about it. You better get somebody to start praying for you right then. Because you're in trouble. But if you have that tenderness where you're sorry on the inside and you want to make it right, that's the Holy Ghost working. He's not pushing you away. He's pulling you back. That's how you know the difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation will always push you away from God and make it seem like God is angry at you and that God is putting a wall between you and him. No, that's the devil. That's the condemnation of the devil. Conviction always says, come back, make it right. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to cleanse you. Confess it, forsake it, admit it and quit it, and let's go on. That's the Holy Ghost. Tell your neighbor, say, admit it, quit it, and go on. Most people have trouble admitting it. And then if they can bring themselves to admit it, they have trouble quitting it. Admit it, quit it, go on. Confess it, forsake it, move on. He that covers his sin shall not prosper. So if you tried to hide it, let me tell you, you can't hide nothing from God. I mean, how you trying to hide? Who you think you are, Adam? You done sold some fig leaves together, think you're going to hide your sin. And God didn't even ask Adam what he did. He said, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? He didn't say, Adam, what'd you do? He said, Adam, where are you? And he said, I hid myself from your presence. So what was he hiding from? The presence. See, that's what sin does. Sin will make you hide from the presence of God. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to live right and you want to be powerful in God, then you have to bring all your sin to the light. Yeah. See, the Bible says that men love darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. So when you have evil working in your heart and you don't want to be free from it, then you'll hide your sin. You'll cover up your sin. You'll bury your sin, and you'll start walking in deception because you don't want nobody to see your sin. But I'm going to tell you, the best way to deal with sin, just bring it out in the light. Hey, I messed up, I sinned. See, nothing good happens in the dark. Oh, you got to get in the light, amen? You know you can't see your way in a dark room. Confusion happens in the dark. Disorientation takes place in the dark. Right. You don't know right from left. When you are walking in the dark, it's easy for you to stumble. That's right. And it's easy for you to be misled when you can't see. You don't want the devil leading you around. If you're blind, because he'll tell you he's taking you the right way and be setting you up for a big fall. So when you're in the dark, you don't know what's happening. You don't want to be caught in the dark. Amen. So we found out that we passed from death into what? Life. We found out that we got a new life on the inside of us, right? It's the life of Christ. Jesus came to live inside of us when we got saved. Our spiritual DNA changed forever. Turn to Titus. Now, look at verse number 3. He said, for we ourselves also were sometimes, or he's giving you a look at yourself before you got saved. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts or desires and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. God's loving kindness and his grace appeared not because we did the right thing, not because of our works of righteousness, but according to his what? His mercy, he did what? He saved us how? By the washing.